Blog Talk Radio.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountains of our hope. Beautiful for situation, the Lord God he is. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And truly, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he shall give us the desires of our heart. He told us through his word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Glorious and victorious day it is, another day that the Lord hath made, that we should rejoice and be glad in it. You've tuned into the Wisdom Alliance, heard over the blogtalkradionetwork.com on all 7 continents around the world. Because truly we know that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is indeed liberty there. Giving raise to the praise on this glorious and victorious day it is. You got it. Sunday, November the 12th, 2017. Another day, another page written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the living epistle that describes our character, our motivation, our assignment, and the manner in which we conducted ourselves as we completed our assignment. And let me tell you something. This is the word of knowledge, and you need to listen and take heed to this. Nothing ever happens by coincidence. God oftentimes uses ordinary situations to appoint and to assign extraordinary individuals, individuals who are dormant, who may go unnoticed, who may not even be detected, even within the most minuscule population. Listen to me. Listen. This is a word of knowledge, and this is for someone who's been sitting right there in radio land who said, you know something, I feel void of purpose. I feel as though that I'm not making the ascension in life that I should make. Everywhere I turn, there seems to be conflict, turmoil, trouble, disharmony. I feel so disparaged. I feel so lost. I feel so void of presence in this world. Let me tell you something. God allowed these situations to come against you, not to make you bitter, not to cause you to go into depression and then it elevates to the level of oppression. And then you execute a level what we call regression, living in the past, ruling over the things that happened to you. God wants to do something new within you and in your life. And he's saying, trust me, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every prayer that has went against you. That's right. There are some people who are so malevolent in their spirit, so wicked, so evil, that they actually sit up and meditate upon committing acts of treachery and actually send out negative vibrations in the universe, hoping to afflict those whom they feel threatened by, or to do those that they envy, even to those that they just really want to destroy. You don't believe it? Read the very essence of David before he became exalted as king. God, first of all, appointed David to be king of Israel. Saul, who was the king at that time, he was so full of jealousy. And as King Solomon said, the son of David said, jealousy is more crueler than the grave. This is what caused Saul to seek after divinators, wizards, sorcerers, to use enchantment. That's why that's a form of manipulation, a form of witchcraft, that you use the negative forces that are fueled by the powers of Satan himself and his minions. He called them together to get advice. Here was a man who once called out to God and trusted God, King Saul. He now felt so threatened and intimidated and knew that God had laid the anointing. See, when you're anointed, the appointment will follow thereafter. I know this is unusual words, but we've got to obey the Holy Spirit today. And he became so enraged, so enraged. He wanted to do anything he could. And it meant trying to fuel a curse against David. And it meant that he tried to plot the murder of David because he knew that he was going to be the successor of the throne and the anointed and appointed by God, King of Israel. And he tried. He tried. And to those who were weak in spirit, they fell for his plot. But here David was, he knew what God had laid hands upon him. To be anointed, the hand of God rests upon you. That's right. And when you're appointed, the angels of God watch over you. And so this is where Saul fell off. He wanted him dead. He wanted him removed because he knew that God had appointed David to be the king of Israel and that there was something indeed divine about him. So here David was, the very people that spoke well of him, turned away from him. The people that once regarded him refused to assist him. But God sent special people, special, that's right, appointed people. Every season appoints people in your life, people you may have not seen in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, maybe 20 years, God will cause you to reconnect with them, and they will be the blessing, the vehicle to get you to where God wants you to be. And this is what happened with David. The very people that David never even considered, God sent them into his life. And this is when the 23rd Psalm comes into play. When David said, he knew the hour was coming of his exaltation, but God wanted David to be humble too. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What was he saying? God, you are my El Shaddai, the creator, the master of the universe. You are my Jehovah Jireh. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not be without. I shall not be wanting or wandering for anything. I shall not beg. I shall not ponder. I shall not panhandle. He said, he maketh me to lie in green pastures. You know what green pastures represent? That represents posture, I mean position, and prosperity. You make me to lay a bed. Look up and live today. That was the message. 3 weeks and standing. He said, you make me to lie in comfort, in posture. That means position. Exaltation is coming. Your promotion is coming. God had to break you, make you, fold you, and remold you to catch you in that position because he wants you and me to know it was his hand that these things were wrought. This is an unusual word, but as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're obeying the Holy Spirit today. And this is what David did. He said he laid a bed. He didn't worry. He didn't walk the floor. He didn't scratch his head. He didn't pull his hair out. He didn't turn around and tell other people off because he wasn't in a good place or position. He said, I'm in comfort because, God, you have positioned me. Posture means position. When you're in position, you're in the area of the range of promotion. And the prosperity flows. God will hand you blessings from a one person, and then the other person will pass it to them, then to you. It continues the prosperity chain, It's progressive. It's astronomical. When you let go and let God, you'll see it happen. And then King David said, he restores my soul. That means he revives me. When I'm at my very lowest point, my level of human sacrilege is apparent and evident. I've given up all hope. My head is cast down. My very existence seems to be a toilsome bother. He said, you restore me. You revive me. You renew me. You renew my reason for living. You extend my hand for giving. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. That means he shows me what to do in the midst of wrong and evil doers. He gives me the spirit of discernment through the Holy Spirit to let me see what others don't see, to let me know what others don't know. For his name's sake, because in his name, he said, in the name of Jesus, Yeshua. We will cast out devils, speak with new tongues. That means the new way, a new harmony. That we would lay hold upon the very elements of heaven itself. We would cast down and destroy every imagination that exalts itself above God. And bring into captivity every thought into the knowledge of Jesus Christ through the name of Yeshua, through the name of Jesus, in which every knee must bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God, is time to look up and live. He says, what? James, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I mean, even though I have to dwell amongst those who regard you not, even though I have to be amid those who believe in you not, even though I'm amid the company of those who restore you not, Lord, in your greatest level of majestic presence and existence, guess what he said? I will fear no evil. That means I won't consider them. They don't influence me. They are influenced by me and because of me, but their wickedness does not outshine me. Why? Because I trust in you. It's time for you to look up and live, listening audience. It's time. Aren't you tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, same old, day in, day out? Your existence seems to be a bothersome perplexity. It's time to look up and live. Well, thou art with me. Thy rod. What is this rod? The rod of correction. That's right, that keeps us walking the straight and the narrow path. And thy staff, what is the staff? The staff is the very crook that the shepherd uses to bring the sheep back into the fold. Have you ever seen a shepherd in real life? And how some of the sheep, the smaller sheep, sometimes seem to stray away from the other sheep because the pastor looks much greener on the opposing side. But what happens is that shepherd takes either the hook part of the staff or the elongated rod of the staff, and he either pokes his sheep very lightly so that the sheep will come back into the fold, or else he takes the staff and lightly places it around the lower portion of the legs of the sheep to bring the sheep back. So God continues us on that path, when we're almost ready to give up and give out, he takes his loving staff and brings us back into the fold. That's what he does. That's just what he does. He said, they comfort me. I mean, they bring me a sense of consolation that I know that everything is going to work out right, because the word of God tells us that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And he says in the fifth verse, thou preparest a table before me. A table, that means the blessings of Abraham, divine favor, divine wealth, divine prosperity. You just lay out the fold in the midst of mine enemies. And enemies not always people that walk around with a firearm to shoot you. They're not always people that walk around with a sword to behead you. Sometimes they're people who sit with you and are amongst you, who want what you have and don't know how you got there, don't know the suffering, the sacrilege that you experienced on the journey. But they want to be you because the enemy has filled their heart with indignation. That's a sense of treachery. They begrudge you and don't even know why, because they're being manipulated and monopolized upon by the enemy, who is the very enemy of mankind. And when you call on the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus, and ask for his help, and he sends his angels out to do your bidding, what does the enemy do? He flees with his minions. And see, he doesn't have the ability to run in the physical realm, but he takes foe in the spirit realm because he's yet changed into captivity, but he utilizes the train of thought, the power of thought. That's right, and persuasion through the spirit. That's right, because we're trifold beings. We are physical bodies that encase a soul within the heart and a spirit within the mind. So this is what he does, okay? So he sees us, and he knows that when we call on the name of Jesus, it's on and popping, as they say in the world. He said, in the presence of mine enemy, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That means God, instead of you breaking down, being sad, feeling bad, and being mad, the presence of God's grace, that existential cushion, brings you up, puts a smile on your face, sends somebody your way with happy words, great tidings, and that's how you know the favor of God rests upon you. That negative letter that came in the mail, God takes it and turns it to a positive in your favor. The little plots and plans that the enemy uses to try to distraught and dismember those who trust in God, God takes that plan, tears it up, erases the agenda, and sends the enemy and all that obeyed him running. That's right. And the sixth verse says, let's go back to the sixth verse. My cup runneth on. That means I get full of joy. There used to be a song that used to say, the joy bells keep ringing in my soul. I mean, God gives us joy. Joy far out supersedes happiness. Happiness is based upon the very elements of the here and now. Joy is withstanding. Despite what is seen, you know what's going to happen. We don't perceive the now, but we conceive what's going to come later. That's right. So he says, I get full of joy. The sixth verse says, surely. That means most assuredly, positively. So we know. Goodness, that means wonderful things. And mercy, that means the very grace of God. And grace is a form of mercy. Mercy in activation phase. Shall follow me all the days of my life. I mean, as long as I live, the physical realm is beyond that. We know we already got eternal security. But in the here and now, I will always see the hand of God perform miracles in my life. I will see the divine favor of God take hold upon me in my life and fill my cabinet. That they run us over, that fill my pockets that I have no lack, that put people in my life of meaning that I have no void, no emptiness, that will constantly, God will constitute a mission for me that I don't feel inadequate of purpose. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is he saying? I will continue to experience the height, the depth, and the breadth of the Almighty, of El Shaddai, of Yahweh, of Jehovah. The 7,300 times in the original script is the name Jehovah, which is God the Almighty, the great I Am mentioned. And don't you know, God does not change. He says, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. So praise God for whom all blessings flow on this day. It's time for you. It's time for me to look up and live. It's not just enough to be alive. Being alive means you're quickened back into your physical body. That means your spirit conjointed and connected. And see, that breath constitutes the fact that you are a living soul. We are like pearls and captured in an earthly shell. It's wonderful. Being alive is a blessing. It's another day and an opportunity to prove God. But it's time for us to live. That live means experience the splendors of God. There is no poverty in God. There is no affliction in God. There is no limitation in God. The limitation comes when we start acting through the flesh. The Word of God tells us to be carnally minded is death. That means to try to think things out, but what you see, it'll come to an end, a quickening end. But to be spiritually minded, according to the Word of God, is life, life, abundant life, prosperity. Nobody in their right mind wants to be poor. Nobody in their right mind wants to be physically afflicted. Nobody in their right mind wants to be depressed, perplexed, vexed, and tormented. Nobody in their right mind wants to feel oppressed. Being alive means you can experience those things, but when you live, you are above those things. And behold, our God, our Lord, our Messiah, Jesus Christ said, behold, I come to give you life. That comes to that you could be alive. He said, I know you're alive. He said, but I came to give you a measure above just being alive. He said, behold, I come to give you life, and that more abundantly. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I want to live and live perpetually. You're not glorifying God because you're living in lack. Behold, look at the Lord has placed his word upon me, life in the pits of Hades. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and them and all they that dwell therein. There is no poverty in the kingdom of heaven. No, you're not glorifying God because, woe, woe is me. No, no. You glorify God when you prosper, when your wealth is perpetual and continual, when divine favor follows you, when those bills are canceled, those debts are removed, those obligations cease, and they're eradicated. That's how God is glorified. He's exuberating his power through us, through our lives, so that we can become that effective witness, that living a testimony. People need to see something, not just hear something by word of mouth. People need to see something. Yes, about the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's the word of God. But we need to see something. They need to see the difference in us. They need to see prosperity in us. They need to see wealth in us. They need to see healing in us. They need to see joy in us. They need to see withstanding within us. They need to see humility within us. They need to see the manifold fruit of the Spirit. It's time that not only you, but we looked up and live. That's right. We need to look up. Say it right now. Lord, just look to heaven. Raise your hands and say, I'm ready to look up and live. Say it one more time with a little authority, because if you mean it, you're going to speak it. He says, if you're ashamed of me for the witness of men, I'll be ashamed of you for the witness of my heavenly Father. Say it again. Lord, I'm tired of just being alive. I'm ready. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to look up and live. Third time. Lord, I'm tired of just being alive. I'm thankful for being alive. But it's time for me. It's time for me. It's time for me to look up and live. Believe it. Know it. Sow it. Grow it. Believe it. Receive it. Achieve it. It's done. It's done. And we know where it came from. We came from his amazing grace and his loving kindness toward us. Even in all of our ignorance and all of our stupidity, he looks beyond all of our thoughts. And our thoughts too, because sometimes we don't think right, and sees what we need, because we have to look up and live. Because why? The world is dying. It's dying every day. You see all the wickedness, the hard-heartedness, the iniquity. Last week, a man disparaged in his consciousness because things weren't going on right in his life. Released from the military, harboring bitterness. Goes into a congregation and shoots, kills 36 people, and actually wounds 20 others. Why? It's a look to live, because this world is dead and is perpetually dying as we are speaking, as we are on this broadcast. Something somewhere, somehow, someplace around the world is going on and growing on in a negative fashion. Why? Because people are not looking up and living. They're alive, but they're not living. Preempting this occurrence, look, 3 weeks ago, a man disparaged in his character, had money, had posture, but just dissatisfied. Something within his mind went off. That's right. When that mind is not in Christ Jesus, it's subject to do anything. What did he do? He decided, along with another anonymous individual, went on to Vegas, and those who came together for an entertainment purpose end up losing their lives. That's right. A totality way up in the hundreds of people that were either injured or killed. That's right. Why? Because people are not looking up to live. They're alive, but they're not living. They're not functioning on the frequency level that God would have them to function on. Why? Because they're alive, but they feel void of purpose. void of character. They feel abstinent of God's presence, and that is why. Then you look at 2 years ago. That's right, when Dylan Reese, a young man, not even to adulthood yet, decided to take a firearm and go into a congregation and kill 9 people and injure 20 others. Why? Because he was alive, but he was not living. He did not look up and live. That's right, somebody at that period of time that attended that congregation got up that morning and said, you know what? I'm going to stay here. My burden tells me to stay here and pray for somebody. And they escaped the madness. Why? Because God had laid hands and hold upon them so they could look up and live. And here this young man that has not even reached maturity because of his actions, because he did not look up and live, now he's going to be facing the death penalty. So look at these instances of what's going on in the world. And our Messiah told us this in the 24th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. He said that these perilous times will come, that men will not endure sound doctrine, that, you know, the wickedness of the world shall take manifold, shall take manifest. He said, but when you see these things coming, know that the hour is getting close, that the Son of Man appears. He told us these things in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Why? Because God, through the witness of his only begotten Son, our Savior, our Messiah, wanted us to look up and live, not just be alive, but to look up and to live. And this is why it's so very important that we follow the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's right. And listen, let's go to the 24th chapter of the Gospel of the book of Matthew. He said what? When you see these things, don't become shaken. He says, and ye shall hear of wars, sixth verse, and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Don't get all frustrated and pulled apart. Oh, my gosh, he's going to die. No, no. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. This is winding down, winding out to the last waning hours of man's civilization upon this earth. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. And see, first thing they say is, oh, shortage of food. That's why they're doing these GMOs, the genetically modified organisms. No, the famine is just not for food, because GMOs are manufacturing of hybrids of food, of nutritional foods, of vegetation, of meat products. So that's already been acclimated. That's why we're seeing all these different types of diseases and conditions taking place, because they've been manufacturing false foods. And they've not just started this. They've been doing it well over the last span of 30 years. That's right. That's why we're seeing so many incidents of unpleasantries and afflictions within the human anatomy. But the famine is for the truth. You can't get the truth out of the majority of the congregations. Events and occurrences, they're not actual places where you're going to get and hear the word of God, like you're getting the word of God right here. This is a rare commodity. Getting the word of God is a rare commodity, and this is one stop station that you know you're getting biblical truth. You're not getting a hyped up version of the word of God. You're not getting a biblical personality that's trying to sell you something. This is not an infomercial. This is a And this is a rare commodity. Very few people are speaking, teaching, and preaching the word of God. That's the famine. Everything's dried up. Everybody's sold out. Everybody wants to be a famous celebrity. God doesn't have Christian celebrities. He has humble children that do his will and do his work in his way, and he pays us. That's what he does. He said, go into the vineyard and work. He said, whatever is right, I'll pay you. Why? Because you will look up and you will live. He said, and pestilences. That pestilences are things that just get on your nerves. Various diseases and conditions and elements in the universe are taking place that interrupt the course of life. That's what pestilences are. They're occurrences that interrupt the way that you function. That's right. They've got flying insects of your finger. Those are pestilences. They said they've actually seen an insurgence of a locust actually coming back around and eating the wheat crop in various parts of the country. So these are pestilences and earthquakes. We've had our share of earthquakes and geographical anomalies all around the world. That's right. And look, the earthquake in Haiti from 2010, that country has yet to revive. That's right, because when it happened in Haiti back in 2010, those echoes went all throughout the world, and there seemed to be a wide-range cadre, circumference of earthquakes and other unpleasant anomalies within the ionosphere, stratosphere, and in the atmosphere. So, right, we need to look up and live so we can acknowledge these things. He says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. They shall come to you, afflicted, and deliver you up, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. What is our Messiah saying? We need to look up and live. They're not going to definitely like you. It's not the you they don't like. They don't like what your standard is, because your standard is the standard of God, and you interrogate them with your presence. Your position that God has put you in makes them uncomfortable. You don't have to say a quickening word. It's just your presence shows that you serve and believe in a God is the creator of the universe, the master of all intelligence, and he is in control. And because you walk in the obedience of God and have taken on the name of Jesus Christ, you possess that power in your earthly vessel. I possess that power in my earthly vessel. Why? Because we chose to look up and live. So don't think that you've decided that you're going to obey God according to the knowledge of the Holy Spirit and walk in his obedience. The people just don't gravitate to you. Some who are seeking enlightenment, seeking truth, will gravitate to you. But some people will be repelled, and they'll sometimes repulsed by you because they fear that God's judgment works through you. God's power emanates through you, through me. And because of that, you're showing light upon their darkness. Why? Because we chose to look up and live. He said, deliver you up, that means betray you. That's right. Betrayal is the lowest form of human disparagement, betrayal. Betrayal is no different than a murderer. That means that you're pretending to be in the person's best interest, but deep down inside, you desire to see their demise. Why? Because their presence makes you feel less than adequate. But you know something? God gives his angels charge over us, and no weapon formed against us can prosper. And God will send our enemies, as the psalmist said in 37 division, he said, come to you in one way and flee from you in seven. And that's what God is going to show us that on this very miracle-filled week. And he said, and to deliver you, and so you should be hated of all nations. What's that? You will be envied. Some people will despise you. All nations means types of people. There will be people that will hear of your name and quench and quiver. Why? Because you recognize God as being the number one source of your existence. But there's nothing that they can do against us, against our finances, against our bodies, against our families, because God, through the authority of Jesus Christ, has covered us in his blood. We are sealed with the seal of redemption because we have delegated that we're looking up and that we live. We live in him. He said, and there shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. That's what we see going on now. Anytime that a man professes to love a woman and because she decides she no longer wants into the relationship, ladies, you need to sanctify yourself according to the word and be steadfast in God's word and stop trying to find something that's not there. If you want to look up and live, you need to look unto God to be your source, to be your Jehovah Jireh, to be your husbandman, to be your provider, to be your company, and to be all of these things. Because if not, you're going to continue making bad choices. And look at some of the choices that some women made, caused them to lose their lives or else hurt or else dismay their own children because they got into the wrong relationship. So, and they show even they just feel as though they're justified to do these things. Why? Because they did not look up and live. They knew they were alive, but they regressed to the fact to look up and to live. So because of that, and here, many, here we talked about, false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Oh, Jim Jones wasn't the only false prophet. There are numerous false prophets out there who are selling people quick fixer uppers. You send me $100, I'm sending you a blessing. No, there is no price tag on God's prosperity plan. There is no price tag on the healing powers of God through Jesus Christ. There is no price tag on me speaking the words of prophecy to you. Now, if you decide you want to donate, that's on your free will, and God's going to multiply it back. But to get up and tell people they have to give you a certain amount of money to receive a blessing is blasphemy. It's disrespect and disconnect to the kingdom of God and to all that God stands for. He says they're going to rise up. People are buying their books, buying their CDs, buying their DVDs. All this man, no, these are personalities, people that are using infomercials to progress you into a trend of thought. Open the word of God for yourself. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Stop trying to look up, get a quick hookup. Get the permanent fix up through the word of God. Many things that come upon us is that God is trying to get our attention. We're not cursed. We're not hexed and all these things. We have let disobedience. Disobedience is a form of witchcraft. It's a form of debauchery that has held captive so many people because they refuse and refuse to acknowledge God and to acknowledge all that God stands for. And as a result, they become afflicted of these things. So, no, this is not God's fault. But he will remove it once you decide that you're going to respect his word and follow him. So stop following these false prophets, these false teachers. They're leading so many people down that broad path that's going to lead them straight to Hades itself. I don't follow the crowd. I follow the word. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 12 verse. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's why we're seeing all these things happening. Time for you to look up and live. This is the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the 12th verse. Iniquity. That means the very lawlessness, the disrespect, the disconnect shall increase. The vow means increasing. The love of the concern and the compassion of many people are wax cold. That means don't have any feelings for them. Condescending. To care less, insensitive, inapathetic, don't care is what it boils down to. You're going to see it, and we see it now. Anytime a woman can give birth to a child, go to travail and sorrow of childbirthing itself, then take the child and place it in a garbage bag or place it on that child on someone's porch, that is iniquity abounding. That is cold. That's an irreputable disposition. Carrying something close to your heart for 9 months, putting your life on the line, then give birth and say, I don't want it. That's iniquity abounding. Anytime a man can turn around and be with his wife and then despise her enough to go out in the streets and have an affair with someone else, be it on either persuasion, that is iniquity abounding. You give a child all that they need to grow up in an atmosphere of love and compassion, and then go out in the streets and hang with the gang and doing things that are unlawful and refuse and refute to do what is right. That is iniquity abounding. And we're seeing it every day. But listen, the 13th verse is our consolation. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That means that you will be redeemed. You will be kept. When there's a famine, we're going to eat well. When everybody's losing their income, losing their jobs, being garnished, being downsized, being shifted, and their pay being cut, we will prosper. We will have more than enough, and we shall lend to many nations and never have to borrow. Why? Because we decided to look up and live because we want to please God. And if a man's ways please God, he'll cause his enemies to be at peace with him. God wants us to have the best that life has to offer. He said, when Jesus told us, he said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. That means unlimited. But we limit ourselves when we look at mankind. We start to try to compete instead of complete one another. We get carnal minded. And this is where the break off system begins to come into placement. But when we let go, let God, and look up and live, we will see the height, the depth, the breadth, and the miracle-working powers of God. And before we get off the very broadcast today, I'm going to say a word of prayer for you, and we're going to pick you back up next week as we're saying, hey, it's time to look up and live. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this meeting of the mind that focuses upon issues of the heart, but we know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We're asking that every listening ear that tuned in today in Radio Land, despite what continent they're on, that you will bless, prosper, heal, touch, and deliver them all according to thy loving kindness, according to thy presence and thy omnipotent power. For we know that you are omnipotent, omniscient, and an omnipresent God that does what he says and makes his seal of redemption known unto mankind. We thank you for this blessed audience. Send them happy and rejoicing on their way, full of joy that's unspeakable and full of glory that the rest has yet to be told. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, we thank you for a miracle-filled day, a miracle-filled week of divine wonders of thy presence, Jehovah Jireh. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we thank you. Let the testimonies ring in. Let the praises of God begin. Thank you, Father God. Amen and amen. And I say to you, until next week, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask you even think. You've got your hopes with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as your Motor City Mahalani, saying, in all things, give thanks unto God. So this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me, and we can do all things. We can look up and live through Christ that strengthens us. We'll see you next week. Be blessed and share your blessings, that the blessings of God and the blessings of Abraham will continue to go and to flow, and that we will continue to look up and live. Oh, yeah.